This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Russian President Vladimir Putin, facing military production delays and mounting battlefield losses, has urged his government to cut through bureaucracy to crank out enough weapons and supplies to feed his troops in Ukraine. A Ukrainian counteroffensive has put Russian forces on the defensive posture. The Russian military supply shortfalls have been so bad that Putin had to create a new committee to try to address the delays. U.S. stocks in overnight trading declined after disappointing earnings from Microsoft and Google pointed to challenges faced by major technology firms. At a White House meeting Tuesday, U.S. energy executives told Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm that shutdown crude oil refineries will not restart. Valero's chief executive Joe Gorder made the announcement. In June, Chevron CEO Mike Wirth posted that there would never be another new refinery built in the United States. America lost her energy independence under Democrat President Biden's policies. Another fallout, your heating oil prices are going up this year. Victoria Idoni tells us by how much.
What really matters to Americans, though, has to do with the power of the pocketbook. The Department of Energy says heating oil prices will be 27% higher this winter. Heating oil, which is similar to diesel, is used widely across New England. Stockpiles of the commodity in New England are currently at just a third of normal levels. Wholesalers have begun rationing their supply to prevent panic buying and hoarding. From the USA Radio News Washington, D.C. Bureau, I'm Victoria Idoni.
A cargo ship attached to the ISS performed a five-minute engine burn on Monday night to get out of harm's way. Fragments of a satellite destroyed in 2021 by a Russian anti-satellite missile was to blame. USA Radio News.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
California regulators proposed on Tuesday fining Pacific Gas and Electric more than $155 million for sparking a 2020 fire in Northern California. That one destroyed 200 homes and left four people dead. PG&E already faces criminal charges in the Zog fire. In June, the utility pled not guilty to four counts of involuntary manslaughter charged by the Shasta County District Attorney's Office for not properly maintaining utility pathways. The trial of a man accused of running people over at a Wisconsin Christmas parade has gone to the jury. Tim Berg has more.
The prosecution and defendant, Daryl Brooks, present their closing arguments to jurors. Brooks is accused of running over spectators at Waukesha's Christmas parade last year, killing six people and injuring more than 60 others. Waukesha County District Attorney Susan Opper is explaining why Brooks is only facing 61 counts of recklessly endangering safety.
I didn't charge 5,000 counts. We selected 61 counts of people that we can identify by name in Exhibit 15 that were injured by the conduct of Mr. Brooks.
Brooks is facing 76 counts related to the incident. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Russia has told the United Nations Security Council that Ukraine is preparing to use a dirty bomb laced with radioactive material on its own territory. USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound?
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you want to check out BillMartinezShow.com. We're going to be talking The Book of Maps. It's a novel from Ernest Thompson, Academy Award-winning author of On Golden Pond. Ernest, when I realized that I was going to be interviewing you, recalling On Golden Pond, what a great film, and how much fun that must have been for you working with the Fondas, huh?
It wasn't all bad. It was a great first movie to be involved with, and I'm starting to think it has legs because, as you may know, I wrote it as a play first, and
yes.
With the exception of the pandemic year, there have been hundreds of productions of the play every year. So I think I struck a chord, and I'm hoping that's going to be the case with my novel, The Book of Maps, as well.
Yeah, for just a moment, if we can stay on Golden Pond, because it's no question that this, I don't know, for me, when I saw it, I said, wow, what a classic, right off the bat. And of course, to think that, first of all, okay, we're going to have the Fondas together, you know, father, daughter, how is this going to work? It was just beautiful. And then, of course, to be in that environment of Golden Pond, I mean, just saying On Golden Pond, you think about it, and it just brings nice remembrances and great picture thoughts to mind. So I thought they did a very effective job in translating your story on the big screen.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It seems to resonate for people, and I don't think there's a formula. Otherwise, I would follow it every time, and all filmmakers would. But I think there's an emotion underlying that story. So, yeah, it's beautiful pictures and great performances, and everything came together. But having been involved with several productions of the play, I've directed it with Julie Andrews and Christopher Plummer. I've directed myself playing the old guy. Mm. There's something magical that happens with that story. And I think there's maybe a longing that we'd all love to have that, that it touches something deep in our own psyches and our hearts where we want to be part of that. We want to give those characters a hug. And
exactly.
I was talking to an actor the other day who did a production somewhere along the way. And I said, did everyone in your company fall in love? And he said, yeah, it's weird you say that. And I said, that's the experience with everybody. And Jane Fonda and Katharine Hepburn, not the balmiest people in the world, but they managed to become pals that summer. And Henry and Kate had never met, and they became fast friends. And the whole thing was like summer camp. And it was really an extraordinary filming experience, very hard to replicate. But that's been my experience with every time I've been involved with any production of On Golden Pond.
Well, and some of that, just the wordsmithing, you know, the description, the way it was written, all this came together. It's magic. I mean, and when that magic happens, like you said, it's you can come so close, but it's not necessarily reproducible. It's not formulaic necessarily. There's just something special. And I think that because it was so doggone relatable, everybody could see a different aspect of their character in each of the characters that were there on Golden Pond, right? Yeah.
I've had so many people say, oh, oh, you must have known my father, or did you have a report under my bed, or whatever. And I wish that I could understand it, but I truly believe that while I'm very proud of the writing and it's hilarious and very, very touching, I think a lot of it is what doesn't get said, and that's a trick too for a writer. It's
exactly.
An art form unto itself is the subtext and the pauses, and there's a lot of that. And I thought the director of the movie Von Golden Pond did a very nice job of capturing that looking at another person and wishing you could say something, because we all can relate to that.
Right. It promotes imagination, and imagination gives you a whole nother dialogue. Just like you said, you know, the right appropriate pause to kind of give people to kind of just meditate on that key moment, and suddenly it's not just one story. You know, it's hundreds of thousands of viewer stories that read into that aspect, and that's what makes it so special. Yeah, I think it was just a great effort. Go ahead.
Well, I really appreciate your saying that. I teach workshops for writers, and people come from all over the country to my farm in New Hampshire. And I do the same thing with them. I say, if you can tell a very simple story and make it personal, then somehow, if it works well, it becomes universal. So anybody can look at it. And as you may know, On Golden Pond has been translated into 30 languages. It's been performed on 6 continents in 40 or more countries. There's something about it that just reaches people. And I know we're going to talk about the Book of Maps in a second, but that's what I aspire to every time I sit down with a pencil in my hand, is how can I tell the simplest story in the most universal way?
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say the universal aspect of it is so key. The Book of Maps, this novel, give us some background on it. How did it come about, and what were you thinking?
The nuts and bolts came about because this little pandemic came along, and I was just about to start on a film, and I had another play that I was pushing towards in New York, and everything stopped.
Yeah.
I'm not one for sitting around doing nothing, so I wrote the Book of Maps. The Book of Maps genesis was 20 years ago. My young son and I drove across the country from L.A. to New Hampshire. And I didn't plan to write a book based on it, but that's how it kind of turned out. And again, it's like On Golden Pond. It's a father, a very strong, compelling father character, complicated, and in his case, a younger guy, but impetuous and not necessarily the most responsible guy in the world. And part of the story is redemption, that he has to learn to become a better father. And the only way to do that, and I say near the end of the book, maybe that's the secret to being a better father, better filmmaker, better teacher, better lover, is to become a better man. And I think we could all aspire to the better angels that are part of us. But anyway, that's the long answer to the question. That story just demanded that I tell it, and the time was right 2 years ago when I sat to start it.
What a cherished time for you and Brendan. Your son's name's Brendan, right?
No, my son is named August.
August, but this
in the book,
is Brendan. Okay.
Character in the book who's kind of loosely based on Ernest Thompson is named Brendan Tibbett, and his son is named Brenlin.
His
name Brenlin, so he calls him Blink.
Okay. All right, I get that. But for you, you know, just recalling that road trip for you and your son, it was an investment of time that is just so precious and probably you hold dear to you even now. I can tell as you're explaining to me, you know, what happened. Go ahead.
This was 20 years ago, and I didn't have a digital camera, so we took pictures old school, and we have a photo journal, and that stays on my desk always. It's a keepsake. For years afterwards, my son would say, "Hey, Dad, we got to take another road trip sometime." And I would say, yeah, I know. And then it became like Cats in the Cradle.
I was going to say.
One day we'll do it. And I opened up the book recently because I sort of used it as my outline or Bible. And my son, 3 years ago, stuck a note and said, "Hey, Dad, it's 2019. I'm 28. If I can get through this without crying. And glad to say that you are still my favorite person to share a laugh with. I love you."
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So 3 years ago, he said to me, Dad, when are we going to take the road trip? And I thought, how many 27-year-old or 28-year-old boys say to their dads, let's take a road trip together. And I said to my wife, I'm dropping everything. We're going. So we drove up to the Maritimes in Canada and had a really wonderful, reflective, poignant sort of revisitation of the trip we took 20 years ago.
Mm. How cool is that? We got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there. We've got more from Ernest Thompson after this.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Hey folks, here's great news for active aging seniors. The Kanega Watch, the only medical alert smartwatch with built-in fall detection. Yeah, the Kanega Watch is much different than the other guys. It's a stylish, discreet watch you can wear all the time. Get help through the watch in one of 3 ways. Your voice, pushing the watch's alert button, or have the fall detection connect you to a U.S.-based 24/7 monitoring center who'll speak to you through your watch and can send help to your GPS location nationwide. And get this, it can do that even if you're not responsive. This is true 24/7 peace of mind for you and those that love you. Order your Kanega watch with a full refund 30-day trial period. Call now, 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
American, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us. We're talking with Ernest Thompson, the Academy Award-winning author of On Golden Pond, his latest novel, The Book of Maps. We were just talking about, you know, these moments with our kids, that they there's expressions. They touch us in such ways that, you know, give us maybe a moment of fulfillment that maybe we're not as bad and maybe we're just too critical on ourselves, perhaps, as parents, you know, as fathers with sons, right?
It's guaranteed that every parent will fail in some way. It's part of the individuation process where our kids get old enough to look at us and think, really? Those are our parents? But if we're lucky, if we've done our job well, then they forgive us our foibles. And when we first screened on Golden Pond, Buck Henry was in the audience.
Oh,
and the director said, what do you think, Buck? Is there an audience for on Golden Pond? He said, only people who've had fathers. Well, that kind of widens the lens.
Oh, yeah.
And,
exactly.
And here we are with the Book of Maps. You know, people are going to relate to this story because they had a dad themselves or their fathers themselves and thinking, how am I screwing this up? How can I do better? And and then all the stuff of life. You know, there's a scene which I really love in the book where they've gotten as far as Angel Lake in Nevada, and the kid insists that they go stop there. It wasn't really part of their itinerary, but it's so beautiful, and they just stop time for a moment, and they have a campfire, and they're sitting out, and the stars are coming out, and they're reflecting on the water, and the kid wants to talk. And to get a 10-year-old to talk, it's like an act of magic unto itself. And he wants to talk about stuff that boys and their dads don't necessarily always get to talk about. And as the scene is happening, the father is thinking, but I never had this with my dad. My father was, as is true of Ernest Thompson, a Depression-era guy, and where communication didn't flow easily and expressions of affection didn't happen. And so the father in the Book of Maps is so grateful just for that 30 minutes or an hour of sitting, watching the campfire die and talking to the boy about things that are important to a 10-year-old.
Exactly. And Ernest, the thing is that those kind of conversations, they cannot be manufactured. They happen when they happen, but there's also, you've got to make time in a sense for it. That conversation would not have happened in the midst of your busy day because you got so many things on your mind that are distracting you, right? But now it's just you and him. You're out there. You're off the grid, so to speak.
Yeah.
And now suddenly your son feels, in this case, the 10-year-old in the novel, feels comfortable enough to be able to open up and share so candidly, you know, with his father. How special is that?
Well, it's a huge gift, and I take credit for giving it to myself and giving it to us, because not all fathers are present, and it really is Harry Chapin and Cats in the Cradle. And I know I'm smart enough to be present and think, wait a minute, this is one of those moments. And the guy talks about it a lot in the book. He's well aware, the father in the book of Maps is aware, this is one of those moments. This is a moment where we have to really address. As you may have read in the Book of Maps, the father has a secret, and he hesitates sharing that with his son because he knows it's going to affect his life for the rest of time. And he puts it off 12 days in, 9 days, 7 days, 5 days left. When is he going to tell him? And it becomes just a horrifying moment. But it's, again, one of those things in our lives that have to be addressed, and there has to be a building of trust. And that's what the father aspires to do. It doesn't go well at first, as one can imagine, but the kid is sort of forced to grow up on the spot at age 10, and it becomes a very climactic moment in the story.
But as you show on the other side, as you get through the rough parts of understanding this secret, and it's now, you know, it's no longer hidden. Now you have a choice. How do you deal with it? And I think sometimes we underestimate, and we don't give our kids as much credit as they deserve, that they can handle the truth, can't they?
Correct. And that's the operative word, is the truth, and being honest and open and communicating with your kids. And that's really what the book is about. The father, as I said, he's a bit of a ne'er-do-well at first, but the kid really teaches him as much as he's teaching the kid, and I think that's so beautiful. At that moment I was just talking about, sitting around the campfire, the father talks about being 10 and how it's the end of so much and the beginning of so much more, but he surprises them both by remembering what it felt like to be a 10-year-old himself, and again, I think readers zero in on that and think, wait a minute, that's me. How did I know that? And that's in addition to how ridiculously funny the book is, how scary it is at times. They get themselves into situations because the father doesn't always think things through and puts his son in situations that probably were not the healthiest. Bearing down a giant black bear in Yosemite, driving 100 miles an hour on the desert in Nevada, taking on a gang of skinheads on the beach of the Great Salt Lake. A different kind of father who may be slightly more evolved would look at a situation like that and think, we should get back in the car and we should drive away. But this father, because he is not afraid of confrontation, because he doesn't like bullies, because he has his own agenda, puts himself and the boy in those situations. Eventually it comes to bite him because he has to learn. He has to get better at it. And he was a reluctant father, and it's not giving anything away. The boy wasn't planned. It's not as if he said, hey, 10 years ago, I'm going to have this kid now. He really wasn't ready in his life to do that. But that doesn't mean that that's unusual, because most of us aren't ready for the things.
Exactly.
Whatever the circumstances are, it put him there. He had to grow up in a hurry, too.
Well, and the thing that's kind of cool about it is that the mom wasn't there. If the mom was there, it would have been a different dynamic altogether, right? Just saying.
Right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I mentioned that in the book, that it's a true dividing line between mothers who would never put their kids in those situations and fathers who are overgrown kids themselves who say to the boy, yeah, go off a high dive. It's fine. Well, what's the worst that can happen? Or, maybe the water's a little deeper in the Merced River than I thought it was, but let's see if we can get across it. And, oh, you got swept away. Sorry about that.
Thank God we're okay, and we live to tell the tale.
Correct.
Ernest, a couple of minutes left here. How does adopting new names in each state play into the teacher-student collaboration between the father and son?
That's a great question. I really appreciate it. At one point in the book, they go and visit an elderly cousin three times removed of the dad. And she was a second grade school teacher in Chicago for many years. And she taught him that because she would have make up a name day or be anyone you want day when she was a school teacher. And so each state they cross into, the father says, okay, what's your name going to be? And it forces the kid into using his creativity, taking on an identity. And some of them are pretty profane and some of them are outrageous. But it's fun for them. And then they call each other by those names in each state, and they try to remember who they're supposed to be everywhere they go. And some of the states you go through pretty quickly. But I do the same thing with my boy, and because I'm a writer, and I think everything is a story that needs to be told. And to show you what a father I am, now my son is a writer as well. But it took. And I've always held that all of us could be artists. If you go on any playground anywhere in America or the world, and you see little kids playing Let's Pretend, and they're making up names and characters and stories, and that kind of gets beaten out of us by our culture, by lousy teachers or parents who don't understand. And this is an opportunity for people to stop and think, wait a minute, we could do that. My kid and I, we could play those kind of games.
Exactly. Do you realize how many father-sons you're going to send out on a road trip now?
I hope that'll be true.
And
they all take on new names at each border.
Ernest Thompson, you're awesome. Thank you so much. What a story to be told here, a story to be read in the Book of Maps.
Yeah,
God bless
really
you, because there is that redemptive side. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just thanking you for having me on, and that is true. It is a story of redemption, and look in the mirror, all of us can think, wait a minute, I could probably be doing this better. I could be a better parent. I could be a better friend. I could be a better worker, and somehow we kind of lose track of our potential, and I love it if this book inspires people to reconsider who they are and how they go about their lives, their relationships with their kids, their other family members, their wives, their lovers, and I think it has a lot to say to people, and I really appreciate your bringing me on and giving me a chance to talk about it.
Absolutely. Our honor. Thank you, Ernest Thompson. Take care. God bless. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Russian President Vladimir Putin, facing military production delays and mounting battlefield losses, has urged his government to cut through bureaucracy to crank out enough weapons and supplies to feed his troops in Ukraine. A Ukrainian counteroffensive has put Russian forces on the defensive posture. The Russian military supply shortfalls have been so bad that Putin had to create a new committee to try to address the delays. At a White House meeting Tuesday, U.S. energy executives told Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm that shutdown crude oil refineries will not restart. Valero's chief executive, John Gorder, made the announcement. A cargo ship attached to the International Space Station performed a 5-minute engine burn on Monday to get out of harm's way. Fragments of a satellite destroyed in 2021 by a Russian anti-satellite missile was to blame. USA Radio News.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
Announcement of the first scientifically authenticated documentation of unidentified aerial phenomenon, that's UAP, in 2020. Genesis 2 Project has continued their empirical investigation of UAP recordings. Their ever-amassing data collection and ensuing scientific findings have already begun to transform our understanding of physics and opened important discussions with U.S. government personnel on the implications of such technologies for our national security. Here to tell us more about it is Dr. J.C. Van Valkenburg, former Los Alamos National Lab biophysicist, and Deborah LaPrevot, former FBI special agent and forensic scientist. Welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Thank you. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about this important topic here. Let's start with the Genesis 2 project that was founded on the mission of moving the perception of UAP from the realm of fanciful ponderings to that of a serious scientific subject. Can you describe how you went about making that vision a reality?
Yes. Yeah, so really when this all started with a single image that one of our principals had captured. And when we looked at that, then we started really looking around the world at the massive data that was being collected worldwide by people from all walks of life, by government, by industry, you know, such as the commercial airline industry, by individuals on a daily basis. And we thought, you know, it's no longer this idea of is there something there, but what is it? And how do we get to that? You know, how do we take it from this kind of sci-fi entertainment realm into a serious scientific study where we can start looking at this information and figuring out what is this telling us? What's going on in our world? And so when we established GT, it was to look at this information from a scientific evidence-based approach. And we've done that over the past 5 years by recruiting full scientists and making sure that we follow through with very strict non-disclosure agreements so that people can feel secure that we're focusing on the data and not just on some kind of story.
What about, is it Primu Forensics? Can you break that down, explain that to us, how that comes into play?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously we're capturing thousands and thousands of photographs and images of unidentified aerial phenomenon. And, you know, what you want to make sure is that what you're looking at is valid. So G2P partnered with Primu Forensics, and we sent them all of our devices and our data, and we had the images that we released digitally analyzed to show that they've never been altered, enhanced, or in any way digitally manipulated. So when G2P puts out a photograph, you are looking at exactly what was captured from that camera, from that lens, from that video. And Primu Forensics does the forensic analysis for photographs being entered as evidence in court. Obviously, as a forensic scientist, that's very important to me that everything that G2P is putting out is authentic and can be validated.
So you've all worked hard to keep this out of the realm of the conspiratorial. Let's deal with the science, deal with the facts. Now, G2P has a database of recorded documentation, you say, including tens of thousands of images from hotspots around the world. What made you focus on northern New Mexico?
Well, really, the very first image that sparked G2P's inception was taken in northern New Mexico. And when we started amassing this database of observations, then we found that there was just so much going on in the northern New Mexico region that there were just, it was daily that things were being captured, nighttime, morning time, midday, all the different seasons. I mean, it was just continuous that this is almost a hotspot, which makes sense because this region has an innate interest and it has a reputation sort of for the unexplained. There's a lot of stuff happening here. And that innate interest even goes back to prehistoric times. And so, you know, that there are petroglyphs in this region that look like the things that are being captured on film today. You know, and then there's also the modern day history of the northern New Mexico region. And so considering all of that, we thought, you know, this would be a really good place to establish Genesis 2 Project and to really establish firmly this scientific-based approach to studying UAP. And exactly. So that's why we chose northern New Mexico, and we focused on making the foundation of this as a serious scientific topic in the northern New Mexico region to start with, and we've been fully successful over the past 5 years in this.
Deborah, what can you add in terms of being able to share with us the findings that you've discovered in the last 5 years there?
Well, what's interesting is what we can say is that we go through thousands and thousands of photographs, and what we try to do right up front is show anything that can be explained, right? So that if somebody can look at our photographs and say, look, you guys, that's a weather balloon. Look, it's a drone. It's a photo. It's a military aircraft. Then that's great because we're not telling you what we're looking at. We're asking you, you know, look at this. But what we have found is that we have thousands of images, video of UAPs that don't fit into any known aircraft that has been identified thus far. The video that we have captured seems to not defy physics as we know it, whether it's speed, velocity, thermal imaging, lack of heat registry, or ability to change directionality. So that's where we focus. We certainly want, and if somebody has a legitimate excuse for what these things are, by all means. But we want to go out and do independent verification, independent evidence gathering, and independent validation of the evidence that we collect.
We're talking with Deborah LaPravant, former FBI special agent, forensic scientist, Dr. J.C. Van Valkenburg, former Los Alamos National Lab biophysicist. J.C., if I might ask you, I mean, it's been interesting that, for a long time, and this has kind of been kept in the background, in the dark, and in the conspiratorial room, anything that had to do with unidentified flying objects. What is it that's coming to the front that says, look, we're now starting to be open and transparent and letting the people in on this kind of information? What's triggering all this? Can you tell us?
Really, I think it's just the mass of data that's coming out on a daily basis from people in all walks of life. You know, more and more people are capturing stuff that they just don't know what it is. And there's commonalities across the world of things that are being captured and we just cannot explain. And I really think it has reached a critical threshold where so many people are capturing things and there is so many images out there that we no longer can say, oh, this is something fanciful or, oh, this is something that's conspiratorial. There just comes a point that everyone, nearly everyone is seeing something. And at that point, you say, this isn't, it's no longer, is this happening? Because it is happening. The question becomes, what is it?
Exactly.
And really the only way to move in that direction is by doing a serious scientific study. And when we set up GTP, the main thing that we wanted to do was to make scientists comfortable so that they would come forward, because scientists for many, many decades have wanted to study this and have been interested, because science is curiosity. You want to understand the unexplained for anything.
Yes, exactly.
And really wanted to come forward and study it, but they didn't want to damage their reputation, because this has such a fanciful reputation to study this. And so what we did was we set up very strict non-disclosure agreements so that people could understand that they were just here to do systematic scientific study. And I think that that and our transparency with them and the multidisciplinary groups working together made everyone much more comfortable with working on things and taking this as a serious scientific topic.
Well, without a doubt, I mean, this show is about pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. And, you know, thank you so much for, you know, serving us to that end. Deborah, as we wrap things up here, what's next for G2P?
Well, it's interesting. So as we expand outside of New Mexico, we're looking at hotspots around the world. One of the ones that we've established is how much data has already been collected out of the Cusco region of Peru. And so we're expanding to Peru. We already have images and data from that area. And now we would like to take the same approach that we've done in the last 5 years in New Mexico and take that to Peru and start increasing our data collection there.
Exactly. Well, thank you both for being with us, Dr. J.C. Van Valkenburg and Deborah LaPravotte. Appreciate the time. Take care.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vine Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried, and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to be talking about the booster boondoggle, huh? Are you confused as the rest of us? But the bottom line is Washington is wasting billions on vaccines, and they need to stop doing that. How about just relying on the private market and not government? I mean, it seems like Joe Biden and this regime is more interested in paying off political debts. And, you know, the old saying, follow the money, can always be quite telling. I mean, why would the president be wasting billions of dollars on vaccines that people don't want? But they are. This is our money that's being misspent. I mean, any other CEO in the country would have been fired by now for such incompetence. But this is what's happening. Dr. Joel Zinberg is with us right now. Now, Dr. Zinberg is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute and director of the Paragon Health Institute's Public Health and American Well-Being Initiative. Dr. Zinberg, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so help us understand. You wrote a Wall Street Journal op-ed addressing this particular issue. I mean, this is blatant incompetency at the least, if not, you know, something more nefarious. But, you know, help us understand what's going on here.
Yeah, so what's really going on is that since the beginning of the pandemic and the availability of vaccines, the federal government has monopolized the purchase and distribution of these vaccines instead of what we normally do, which is rely on the market to match supply and demand. And the result of that has been colossal waste. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from December 2020 to mid-May 2022, the U.S. wasted over 82 million doses just down the drain. And now they're trying to repeat this with the new bivalent vaccines that were authorized at the end of August. The Biden administration proudly announced it's going to buy 170 million of these new doses, and it's seeking $22 billion more from Congress so that it can get even more of them. But less than 20 million of these doses have been used. Mm-hmm. And that's under 10% of the people who are eligible to receive these doses have used it. So, you know, they're just repeating it, and they're not relying on well-developed, well-documented efficiencies of the market, which will not buy vaccines if they don't think anyone's going to use them.
Dr. Zinberg, there's a consistent theme here as you lay this out. I mean, the reason right now that this country is dealing with inflation and denying a recession is because they did the same thing with our money, right? I mean, they flooded the market with stuff that the market didn't want. And now it's not money. Now it's drugs that they're doing it. So who's leading the charge here? I mean, that's holding on to this insane doctrine that in all the years and decades of experience that we've had in handling these sorts of things, that we abandon reason and empirical data to allow the government to run this operation and to demonstrate and prove to the people again that it knows not what it's doing.
Well, look, this is a philosophical problem here, that you have an administration that thinks it knows better and that it can determine things better than the market. It's the same people who are pushing, you know, single-payer, government-run health care. They think
exactly.
They know how to take care of things. The people are too stupid to do it on their own. And therefore, they're going to go out and buy things, whether anyone uses it or not. And they think, you know, it's kind of like a Field of Dreams type situation. If they think if they buy it, they will come. Well,
yeah.
They've bought millions and millions of these vaccines, and people haven't come, and they've wasted billions of dollars, and they want to waste billions more. And, you know, we have a very efficient solution that's evolved over centuries. It's called the private market.
Exactly. Yeah, and again, to your point, they operate in the realm of the theoretical. They misprove and disprove their theory, but they continue to spend our money. Because it's our money. It's not their money. It's not coming out of their own pocket. Dare I say, if Joe Biden was the one writing checks, I don't think this would last long, do you think?
Well, no, it depends how much Hunter was providing for.
For some reason, I knew you were going to bring that up. Yes, I know this sounds so cynical, but look, we're talking real life issues here. We're talking real money. We're talking the people's money. And you know, it's kind of I keep. Recently, you know, Dr. Zinber, I keep referring back to, you know, Dianne Feinstein's, you know, questioning with Amy Coney Barrett when she said, I believe your doctrine is, you know, somewhere, you know, in so many words, is within you, is deep within you. And this is a doctrine of the Democratic Party that is deep within them that is so dysfunctional. And every time they get in power, they do this to us and they cost us. Just an incredible amount of money. I mean, to the tune now, we're, what, $31 trillion in debt, and we just keep increasing our indebtedness.
Well, look, this is a sort of a recurrent theme. It's the don't let an emergency go to waste.
And, yeah, good crisis, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the good crisis go to waste, and they perpetuated these emergencies so that they, for example, in the realm of Medicaid, we now know they're, you know, close to 20 million people enrolled in Medicaid who are ineligible, but the states can't get them off the rolls and do redeterminations until the public health emergency is over. But the Biden administration has continued to extend the public health emergency. So, you know, it's all of a piece. It's utilization of this crisis to extend government power. And in this instance, it's unfortunate that it's so wasteful. And it's doing nobody any good.
Exactly. Well, it almost sounds John Fetterman-like, because on one hand you have the president saying the emergency is over, we've defeated COVID, and the next step is you keep doing the things that would suggest that the war with COVID is not over.
Right. I mean, look, you know, obviously the administration handlers were walking back the president's declaration, you know, 30 seconds after he made it, because they realized that this will end all sorts of powers and authorities that the declaration gives them. So, you know, the president never went through the formality of reversing the emergency declaration, but I think he was speaking for most of the country who feels that the emergency is over and that we ought to go back to life as normal. And life as normal includes, for most goods and services, including pharmaceuticals, that the market determines supply and demand.
Exactly. Well, what do you make of this movement to vaccinate all these young kids in the midst of just what you just shared with us regarding COVID and where we are?
Well, so, you know, the just about a little more than a week ago, the FDA authorized the vaccines for younger people, for kids aged 5 to 11, and the same day the CDC, ratified that recommendation. And I think they're going to have even less success in that sphere than they have in the general sphere of who's utilizing these bivalent vaccines. Mm-hmm. The major problem is the bivalent vaccines are for people who've completed their primary vaccinations, but only, 32% of 5 to 11-year-olds have completed that primary vaccine series. So it means that two-thirds of kids in that age range aren't even eligible for this new booster. Moreover, a lot of parents remain pretty wary of the evolving safety profile of these vaccines because they were authorized at the end of August before the studies to look at safety and efficacy were complete. And you still don't have complete data on safety in that age group. So I think a lot of parents are going to be very reluctant to have their kids take these new vaccines.
What's the incentive for Big Pharma and these research companies to give us the research we need?
The incentive for Big Pharma is they want to put up new profit, new products on the market that can make profits. The left speaks about that as if that's a dirty word, but you know something? That's how you get drug innovation. That's how you get new drugs that turn HIV from a death sentence into a chronic disease. It's how you get new drugs for hepatitis C that changed it from a chronic, often death-causing disease into cures. The drugs were high-priced initially, but they came down as there was more competition as generics came on the market. And that's what happens here. They came out, this is a triumph for the pharmaceutical industry of innovation. And their ingenuity to utilize these new technologies to get new vaccines in under 10 months, that's unprecedented. But instead of celebrating that, the Bernie Sanders of the world vilify the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, I get that we need the research, and I just want to be able to, if it's warranted, Dr. Zinberg, then I think, hey, all honor and glory, let's celebrate. I mean, this is American ingenuity again in operation. I think that that is something worth celebrating, but let's be transparent. Let's find out what the facts are, because too many people, at least in my audience, Dr. Zinberg, have this sense that we've become human lab rats and we're being used as test specimens in this process because we're kind of, like mushrooms being kept in the dark and fed manure here.
Well, look, I think there's no question during this pandemic, the responsible organizations and agencies, things like the CDC, have done a terrible job in communicating with the American public. Right from the start on issues like masks and social distancing and all the lockdown measures, there has not been the sort of free and open information there should have been. And, that includes saying at the outset, hey, we're not sure.
Exactly.
Best idea now. We don't know. We may have to change. But
Dr. Zinberg, we got to leave it there. Thank you.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla.